nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
Can you use charge pumping method? These are answers you all know, so that's good. Can you use charge pumping method to do the bulk trap density? The answer is low frequency charge pumping. You can use it, right? Yeah, indeed. For especially reasonably thick oxides, you can use. If you have too thin, you cannot use charge pump, too much leakage current. All the electrons, instead of going from the conduction band to the trap and then returning to the valence band, it will all escape through the gate. It will not come back. And if it doesn't come back, the charge pumping doesn't work. So therefore, for charge pumping, you have to have relatively thick oxide. And relatively meaning 3 nanometer, 4 nanometer, something like that. What method would you use if you want to determine defect close to the middle of the oxide? Cell could be the typical approach. Define quantum yield. What does quantum yield? How does quantum yield change with electron energy? Yeah.
Use the whole current to determine how hot is the.
Yes, but what is the ratio of the current? What are the two currents involved?
The source current and the gate current.
Gate current, right. You see, one trouble with this method is that the gate current, we are assuming, is primarily composed of electron current, right? On the other hand, if there is a whole current component of the gate current also, then things will get complicated. You see, because I'm assuming that only electron current comes in and whatever gets generated comes out through source and drain and through the substrate. I can separate them. But if the gate current also has a tunneling component because of the holes, then you can immediately see I can be in trouble. So I have to be a little careful. I'm assuming as if this is the only component. But of course, there could be an equivalent component in here. And of course, in a measurement then, this gate current involves an electron current plus hole current. Then you have lost the ratio because you wanted to know how many electrons generates how many holes. When will it work? Well, if you have an N-type thing, these levels are all full. Right? And you have to keep the voltage low enough so that you don't accumulate too many holes. Moreover, the hole barrier is generally bigger, so it generally doesn't turn on very early. But you have to be careful, otherwise this will contaminate your quantum yield results. Can you think of a similar use of quantum yield in HCI measurement? HCI has a certain number of defects. Hot carrier. Can you use this method to detect where the level is?
Maybe because source and drain have different voltages, so different number of.
But you are measuring. In the measuring, you are allowed to do anything with the source and drain. Yes. When you stressed it, of course, it was had a different VG equals VD over 2 or something like that. But here, what could be the challenge? Okay, the challenge could be that it is very close to the source gate because defects are generated via close to the drain. And when the electron comes in, instead of going to the substrate, it can exit through the source and drain also, right? And so therefore, it becomes difficult to separate the carriers because it's very close to the contacts. You need to be away from the contacts a little bit so that this process works. So people generally don't use quantum yield. What they do is generally they will do bulk TDB-like stress and find out the property of the silicon-oxygen bond and say that the same silicon-oxygen bonds are happening in a hot carrier also. There is a striking similarity between silk and Shockley-Reed Hall in terms of position of the traps. Can you say what the similarity is? Not the position, but
yeah. Combination in the bulk.
Yeah, Shockley-Reed Hall, there is, it balances two things also. Just like I balanced J1 with J2 and made the current the same. In the Shockley-Reed Hall, you've also balanced two currents. What are those two currents?
Two currents from the trap in the bulk.
Yeah, from the, it comes from the conduction band to the trap, and trap to the substrate. And these two fluxes has to be balanced, right? So over there, that the, these two fluxes, they're exactly the same way you balanced. Remember, everything is the same.
Same thing is done for both cases, for the
section and the But this was done for position, and the other one was done for?
Energy.
So that's why it divides the energy into two. Here it divides the energy into, position into a factor of two. What is the difference between silk and low voltage silk? Why do you use silk?
So,
low voltage silk.
Low voltage silk, so there will be a lot of that. So for a very thin oxide, you generally use low voltage silk.
Right. The reason being?
The reason being there is a lot of direct unlinked current.
And so you cannot see the classical silk current, right? Right. And so these methods are, none of them in isolation are perfect methods, but together, once you know all of them, then there's no place to hide. So it will be very, very predictive. Okay? All right. Yeah. Oh, so you want to answer question five? Quantum yield experiment is for gate injection technique. Ah, that's a very good question. This is an important question. Answer me. Gate injection, you understand, right? I'm injecting from the gate and then electron coming into the transistor. Can you use the other way around? Can you push it the other way and then have the impact ionization in the substrate, and can you get the same information? Can you?
Yeah, but I think that it will be plugged because the barrier is different.
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, let's say you are allowed any voltage you like. Any voltage you like. So I'm hearing some no, which is good. But I will ask soon, why no? The two band diagrams doesn't look very different. You can come here, you can impact ionize two electrons, the holes you have, there's no difference.
No source and drain.
Carrier separation requires that you will pick up the current, electro-hole current in one type of contact, source and drain, electron current in the other contact on the drain, right? And here, once it comes out to the gate, there is no source and drain. So if you want to have something like this, you'll have to make a transistor which is something like this. Have another source and drain here, another source and drain here, then it might work. But the source and drain and the substrate contacts are very important. That's how it works. So no matter whether you are looking at NMOS TDDB or PMOS TDDB, if you want to know what the defects are doing, you always have to do gate injection. Substrate injection is not allowed. Right? This method doesn't work. Substrate injection. You have this four terminals. Look at the magic. How many things people can do with the four terminals. Right?
Can this still be used for an SOI, it looks like?
Yeah. SOI. Tell me why you cannot use it for SOI.
There is no substrate.
This
is the gate current, and what we have balanced is just the gate current and the source current.
But what will happen, that steady state, the electron, which cannot get out, will gradually build up, change the potential in such a way so that the whole current doesn't come out through source and drain anymore. It will float the body until it either suppresses the gate current, it has to suppress the gate current to zero, right? Because it's otherwise there will be steady state, it is not possible. Now, whether you can do it in the pulse or not, how the time sequence will be, that I do not know. It would be difficult, I would assume. You understand this, right? Very good. Thank you.